Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Please underline, done away with. Done away with completely. It's a complete work that Jesus did when we were crucified with him. The Bible says that he took sin out of the way. He took it out of the way. It is no more in our way. So we must clear it out of our way. Says that what clearing of yourself? Look at, verse 6b. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, verse 7, for he that has died has been freed from sin. He that has died has been freed from sin. Hallelujah. Did you die with Jesus? The Bible says that you have been freed from sin. Hallelujah. Because Jesus took your sin upon himself. So the sin is no more upon you. So you must clear yourself. How do you do that? You say that Jesus took away this sin. He took away this sin from me. So this sin is no more on my heavenly account. You have to clear yourself because God, in his heavenly account, he has already cleared it. Bible says that blotting the handwriting of offenses that was contrary to us and taking it out of the way. The book of Colossians. Out of the way. In fact, the Greek word that is translated freed, verse 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 7. For he that has died has been freed from sin. Is the word cleared from sin. He has been cleared from sin. And that is your status. You have been cleared from sin. Hallelujah. So, if a believer sins, and the word is if a believer sins, the right response is for him to clear himself of sin. Because accuser of the brethren is going to come to accuse you, to call yourself a believer. But you have to stand on the sacrifice of Jesus and stand upon the word of God and clear yourself. Say you are godly mourning. What clearing it produces in you? Clearing of yourself. You need to clear yourself. Hallelujah. Why do you need to clear yourself? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you clear yourself of the sin. That it is no more my account. Jesus, I thank you. You took away the sin from me. Hallelujah. You thank him, the Lord Jesus. You don't remember the sin anymore. Clear yourself. That's what the Bible said. Let us perfect the holiness practically in the fear of God. Hallelujah. So the believer needs to clear himself. That is why 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says that I'm writing this to you so that you do not sin. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. If you sin, says your first response, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a lawyer with the Father. Hallelujah. So, you must clear yourself based upon what Jesus has done. The first one is that you diligently go to God. The second one is that from God you come to Jesus and you clear yourself because of what Jesus Christ has done. Number three, right response to sin. Says that what indignation it produced in you. Right mourning, right response to sin. Kingdom repentance produces an indignation. Indignation is a big word for anger. Anger. In other words, you must be angry at the sin that tried to waylay you. You must be angry at the sin that the devil tried to capitalize upon to disturb you. You must be angry at it. What indignation it produced in you. You need this anger at sin. Do you know why? Because Some people think that if you have a right response to sin, then it means that, Pastor, then we can toy with sin. After all, God has forgiven us already in Christ Jesus, so that we can clear ourselves and all that. You know? But you need not to romance with sin. Sin is bad, and you must be angry at it. So if you have a right response to sin, there should be an anger in you that I will not go back to the sin. Not a toying that, oh, it doesn't matter. After all, God will do it again. And I mean, God is on my side. And say, yes, He is on your side for a purpose. I'll show you very soon. Hallelujah. So if you sin, look out for this response in you. Anger at sin. That is the right response to sin. Not playing with the sin. Not happy. Happy. You're a Christian. You have done the wrong thing. And then you are happy. No, you must be angry. Hallelujah. The next response. The next right response says that what fear? In other words, godly sorrow, kingdom repentance produces a certain fear in you. What kind of fear is this? First of all, is the fear of God. Look at verse 1, the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Says that, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. It means that the fear of God should be something that is ignited in you. If you sin, the fear of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Look at Psalm 130 and then verse 3 to 4. How do we get this fear of God? How do we get this fear of God? Psalm 130 and then verse number 3 to 4. David is praying and he says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, or you should take note of iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Hallelujah. So, if a believer sins, he should know that he is already forgiven in Jesus. Bible says that to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, not according to your confession, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Your confession is to help you, but as for God, he has decided. He has forgiven you already. Why did he do that? So that it will motivate you to come to him, knowing that he has forgiven you. Some people reverse it. They think that if you're a believer or even an unbeliever and you sin, then you should come to God. Okay, let me limit it to a believer because there are some dynamics I can't explain now. If you're a believer and you sin, then you come to God and based upon your confession, he forgives you. It's not like that. That's not scriptural. It is based upon the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. He has forgiven you already. There's a slight difference between what Jesus Christ taught us in the Lord's Prayer and what happened after his death. Before the Lord's Prayer, he had not taken away our sins, ladies and gentlemen, on the cross. So he said that he taught us to pray that God should forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. But after he died, he took our sins on the cross. The Apostle Paul teaches us something different. He says that forgive just as Christ or God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. In other words, the difference is that before the cross, Before God will forgive you, you have to forgive other people. After the cross, God has forgiven you so that based upon his unconditional forgiveness, you will also follow his right example to forgive people unconditionally, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. So that what? So that you will be like God. Just as he forgave you. When you did not tell Jesus to take away your sin, he took it on himself on the cross. Why can't you look at the example of God and also forgive somebody? Colossians 3 verse 13 also. He says that forgiving one another, if you have any offense against any, if just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you, so also do ye. So after the cross, God's forgiveness is not based upon whether you are forgiven. He has forgiven you already. In him, you have forgiveness of sin. Not you will have it if you confess. Hallelujah. Wow. Pastor, are you saying that we should not confess our sins? I have not said that. Maybe if I get to that, I'll teach you. But you see, when you, if you have to confess sin, if look at the language of that scripture, 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, in other words, God says, if you like, confess. Do you understand? If you confess it, I hope you understand the word if. If means that you have an option. When it's compulsory. If means that you have, depending on where you are. I have not said you should not confess your sins. What I'm telling you is that if you confess your sin, remember that he is faithful and just, not he is merciful. Faithful and just. That, you see, somebody took away your sin. So if you confess, God has to be just to the person. He has to be righteous to the person to forgive you. It's not like he is merciful to forgive you. He has been merciful forgiving you already according to the riches of his grace. But now you are a young believer, right? You have come. If you confess, remember that he did something about the sin. Don't only confess that I have sinned. Confess what Jesus did about the sin. So that your confession is complete. The Greek word translated confess over there is the word homologio. Homologio, homo. H-O-M-O. It means the same. Logio, the language. Homologio means to say the same thing as. As who says? As Jesus says. It's not the same. You say the same thing as your brother next to you said. It's as he said, so should we say. What does Jesus say about your sin? Yes, you have sinned as a believer, yes. But Jesus says something else to God, that I bore his sin, that he is righteous. Say that. That is why he says that if you do it, remember that he is just. In other words, remember Jesus. That is why he came down from 1 John 1:9. He came to 1 John 2:1. And he says that I am writing this to you so that you do not sin. But if any man sin, if you sin, we have Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. A kingdom approach to sin is for you to know that you are forgiven already. Why does he forgive already? So that he will be feared. Godly, the right response to sin is for you to have fear of God. And this fear of God is coming to you by understanding that he has already forgiven you. David said it, if you, Lord, you should mark iniquity, who could stand? Which of us here can stand? If God should mark our iniquity or take note of our iniquity, he doesn't do that. He was prophesying about our time, our blessedness that we have in him. He doesn't write down your sin anymore. He writes down your righteous things, because your sin has been wiped away by Jesus. He is not going to take a pen and write it again. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
He doesn't do that. That is why after the resurrection, Jesus didn't even mind. Do you know that the apostles, some of them doubted him? Mama, not so. But did he mention the doubt? No, he didn't mention why. Because he took that sin away. Do you know that Peter denied him? And he said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Why is it that he denied him? But when he resurrected from there, he didn't deny Peter. He said, go and call Peter. And he reinstated Peter. Because that sin of denying Jesus was before the cross. He took that sin away. He no more recognized it. He said, Peter, come. Take your place again. He says, I prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to prepare a new place for you. Because you're going to deny me 3 times before the cross. I said, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to prepare a new place for you. Because you're going to lose your place in me. But on the cross, I'm going to make room for you. So that you will be where I am. Because in my Father's house, what is himself? There are many room. He has a large heart to take you in. That's what you see. Don't run away from God. Fear him. Fear him. Because of his love. He says that there is forgiveness with you so that you will be feared. Hallelujah. Right response is for you to have fear of God. The next one, and we will finish it. Believe me, we will finish it. If I have to summarize it in 5 minutes. The next one is, what vehement desire. The right response to sin is a lookout for a vehement desire in you. If you don't have a vehement desire produced in you, then you don't have a right response to sin. Vehement desire in the kingdom system, I'm telling you, is that you should have something happening inside you. A desire is something which is inside you. I can't see your desire. Can you see my desire? If I'm desiring to go to the moon, can you see? Just look at me. Can you see? Until I say, can you see? Desire is something which is in you. It says that you should have a vehement or a burning desire. A burning desire. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. The Bible tells us about this burning desire. You see, God, this is talking about an inner passion. An inner passion. You must have an inner passion to love righteousness. To love righteousness. A vehement desire to love the opposite of the same. The Bible says, Hebrews 1 verse 9 or so, that you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, talking about Jesus, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he not only did he do no sin, according to Apostle Peter, but he hated sin. There is a difference. He hated it. There was something inside of him. He loved iniquity. He hated sin. And so God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellow. What I'm telling you is that you must have a vehement desire, like a hatred for sin and a love for righteousness. He didn't say do righteousness. He said love it. It's a desire in you. A kingdom response to sin is for you to have a burning desire in you for the right. All right, let's move on. Little time. What's zeal? This zeal is talking about outer passion. As for zeal, you should see the zeal. When Jesus cleansed the temple, they said that it was fulfilled. The zeal of the Lord has consumed me. They could see it. They could see the action. In other words, not only should you have an inner love for righteousness and hatred for sin, but also you must show it. Outer passion. Ephesians chapter 5. says, I have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. In other words, take some action against sin. Take some action. The right response to sin is for you to take a physical action against the sin. You see it in other people. Tell them this is wrong. Tell your people that no, this one is not the right thing. It's not the right thing. He's not only saying that don't have any fellowship with sin. He says that go ahead and reprove it. Inner passion. The next one, zeal, is talking about outer passion. Outer passion. Jesus saw them making merchandise that he took the whip and lashed them. Outer passion. Doesn't mean I go and lash people. You know what it means? It means that, you see, you must do something to help people who suffered as a result of your sin. You must do something to help other people so that they don't suffer the consequence of that sin. He says, do something about it. Little time. Finally, the seventh response, perfect response to sin, the right response to sin is what indignation it produces, what vindication it produces in you. Vindication is like justification. When somebody says, I've been vindicated, it means I've been justified, I've been proved right. The Bible says that if you have a right response to sin, you must have a proving of the rights. You must prove it. Hallelujah. In other words, you should be able to take the scripture that promises you of all of the things and say that this is the proof. This is the proof. It is not as if you just, I'm justified. What is the basis of your justification? You should be able to prove it. It is not just like taking the fact that what he says that Jesus Christ took our sin. So I've sinned. Jesus Christ has taken it. So I don't care about the sin. There is nothing I'll do about the sin. Prove it. How do you prove it? You take the scriptures and you quote the fact that he was made sin. He was made sin because of my sins. And he was raised from the dead because of my righteousness. Prove it. Romans 4:25. Prove it. Hallelujah. That you'll be able to prove what is the will of God. Prove it. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not like you are walking through life in a kingdom arrangement and you sin and you lie. You don't mind. It's like you are callous. No. You have to take the word and hit the head of the sin. Hallelujah. When you do that, you will see that you are vindicated. All of the assaults of the devil trying to remind you of your past, you use that sword of the spirit to cut them all off, to block them all out. So the right response to sin is not for you to be neutral here. Do something. Say that, prove it. That is why I've gone through showing these things to you from the Bible. It's not like proclaiming it that it's there, it's in the Bible. That's the attitude of God. You have to know it in the Bible, believe it in the Bible, see it in the Bible, and be able to teach other people also from the Bible. At the end of the day, what God wants to give you is an understanding of the Bible. It's not visa. It's not wife. It's not children who resemble you. It is not traveling into outer space. Ladies and gentlemen, what he wants to give you, all these things will pass away by his word. Hallelujah. We are going to be in heaven and spend eternity to know this. Says everything will pass away, but not one jot or tittle will pass from this way. That's why you don't use the Bible like, well, let the pastor read it. No. Open it, read it for yourself, understand it. Get the thing from the Bible. You understand that?
just a neutral way. I'm saying, Jesus, okay, let me go. No, it's not like that. Hallelujah. You should be able to glorify Jesus. Romans 4:25 implies that it was because I am righteous, because you took your sin on the cross, that God resurrected you. If you have not been free from sin, like, you will not resurrect. I died with you, I rose with you. Sin is no more in my way. The resurrection is the receipt. If anybody pays something for you, he must be giving a receipt to show that the payment is complete. When Jesus Christ took your sin on the cross, he paid the price for your sin. God had to receive it. What was the receipt? The receipt is given only when the payment is done, and the person doesn't owe anymore. He's righteous. He's justified. Then he said, now take the receipt. The receipt, the resurrection is a receipt that the payment is complete. So if Jesus resurrected, then you are righteous. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Jesus didn't resurrect, it says we are still in our sins. We know he resurrected, so we are not in our sins. Where are we in? Righteousness. Righteousness. That's our stand. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's our basis. We launch out from righteousness. So he said, should we continue in sin that grace will abound? I said, how possible? You are not in sin. You are in righteousness. So how can you say, shall we continue in sin? He said, you are not in sin. You are in righteousness. Hallelujah. We need to have a kingdom response to sin, to glorify Jesus. And the level of your response to sin shows your faith in Jesus' person, his principles, and his performance for you. God bless you. Let's have the prayer leaders come.
You've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, Amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.